said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
We are back at Sportsaholics episode number 108, and I just got a text from Eric. He is in the air flying back to Los Angeles right now, and so hopefully here in the next couple days we can get down, sit down with him and just get some of the stories. Apparently met a lot of great athletes, obviously saw a lot of incredible events, and I'm sure just has... I haven't talked to him. This has all been through text messaging. So as excited as someone can sound in a text is how excited Eric was. So put simply, I'm looking forward to talking with him. It's a once in a lifetime thing. I would even say even more so than a Super Bowl, because it's only 20 years, every 20 years that, the Olympics are coming to America, or every 16 or what, not that frequently. And then to go down to Brazil now with all the, the fake robbery stories and all that kind of stuff. It should be good. I'm looking forward to it. But so this week, episode 108, first off, guys, go to onelovely.com, onelovely.com. Some great one-off shirts. If you need anything printed up, they'll do it. Just say Sportsaholic sent you. They'll get you some good prices. They ship all over the country. Whether you need 20, 40, 2,000 shirts, they can do whatever you need. So definitely go to onelovely.com to check them out. For me personally, the past week has been, it's back on baseball. For some reason, there's the Royals have been winning. They've won 9 out of the last 11, 7 out of the last 8, 4 in a row currently as we're recording. Just swept the Tigers 3 games, only giving up 3 runs, a solo home run in each game. Pitching's better than ever. Danny Duffy's now a top 5 in baseball pitcher. Over the last 10 starts, 9-1, ERA 2.25, I think like a 9-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Kind of has that Kershaw feel to him, with that left, kind of the over-the-top delivery. It's exciting. The Royals haven't had pitching forever, really since Greinke. And before that, it had been 15 years. So as a Royals fan, I'm surprised. I mean, I put the white flag up 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think 11.5 games back. But as it stands now, I think it's 8.5 from Cleveland, who's hot right now. Just swept Detroit, so 5 games behind them. And I think 6.5 in the wild card. I mean, it's a crazy. We got to jump like 5 teams in the wild card, which is hard to do. But it's a possibility. Right now, at August, I think, 18th, as I'm recording this, it's still a possibility, which is exciting after you've written off a season. But I'm trying to get into football mode. And so preseason games, I haven't watched them. I don't really care. I've been trying to get ready for fantasy, but I'm not good at NFL fantasy. And so here's what I did. I've been watching Hard Knocks, but really what stole it for me was Last Chance U on Netflix. This show, look, I played, and I'll say played very loosely high school football my senior year. Was on the team, never played academics, never like special teams at best. Didn't know what I was doing, but had a good time doing it. It was fun, physically demanding. You know, physically I could handle it. It just I didn't know how to play football. I didn't know how to run plays and that sort of thing, or what on defense, what my zone reads were, you know, with no experience going into my senior year. But the show, it's like you watch this coach and you hear him like yell at the players, and it makes you just kind of want to go lace him up. In fact, I ended up tweeting at the school that, you know, if they needed a punter, keep me in mind. And then, you know, of course, they score 80 points a game, so they don't need a punter. But anyway, I want to play this clip. This is from the halftime of the first game of the season. I'll give you an idea what you're dealing with. It's freaking great. Yeah, I'm like, all right, I'll sign up. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, coach. I'm just, yeah, how can you, I don't know. It just seemed like a very encouraging, like, we're going to play better in the second half. And spoiler alert, they play better in the second half. And that's just one of many instances. But the story that is around this show, again, Last Chance U on Netflix, it is, it's as simple as that. Like, these guys either go on to SEC schools, you know, or they never play football again. And a lot of them, it's education. They can't make the grades. Some of them, it's desire. They've got all the physical attributes, but they're just, you know, they just don't want to play. It's just not worth it to them. So it's a weird mix of everything. And there's a lot riding on the line, you know, financially for some of the kids, you know, the pressures of making the NFL and the statistics on how hard that actually is. But this Eastern Mississippi Community College, EMCC, has, I think, currently 7 players in the NFL, which is more than the average SEC school. So they do get guys into the league. They just go to the big schools for like a year, maybe two, and then, you know, get into the draft. But great show. I'd recommend checking that out. Again, that's Last Chance U on Netflix. And guys, thanks for following us on Twitter. Picked up a bunch of new followers this past week, and on Instagram. So thank you guys for following us there. This week's episode is great. We talked to my buddy Polly from Brooklyn. He's a Mets fan. So I wanted to get Mets fan on here just to kind of talk out last year's World Series, talk about the past. We kind of cover that Doc and Daryl documentary that was on ESPN that kind of that covered the, you know, the run through the 80s, the drug abuse, the 86 World Series. Get some great stories from his perspective. He was there, he lived it all. So and then following that, we have Dave Nelson back with a super soccer segment. And that's just covering soccer. He breaks down all the beginnings of all the European leagues, which league is in what country. I don't know, and I'm sure you don't know either. So he really breaks it down to say, like, this league is in Germany. This is what the league in Ireland's called. Oh, technically Wales is with this league, et cetera, et cetera. He explains it. And again, Listen to Dave every week on the Comedy of Go-Go podcast. He has reformatted the show. It goes a little bit deeper into comedy. It's not just kind of like stories and, you know, like typical podcasts. He goes into, you know, certain questions and tries to peel back a few layers with stand-up comedy. And so if you're just starting out or want to start out doing comedy, I suggest listening to that show because it is very informative. And I'm not saying that, just I've been on there a couple times. It's a really good show. And, you know, Dave travels all around the South and in Florida doing comedy all the time, and actually trying to get down there with him to do some shows, which would be great. But again, the Super Soccer segment coming up later on this episode. All right, you know what? With that being said, let's just get into some baseball. Talk a little baseball here with my boy Pauly V. Talking to us from Brooklyn. Yeah, I think this might be our first interview coming from Brooklyn. All right, we are back on Sportsaholics with Pauly Vandewater, and he's my Mets friend. And this was Pauly, he and I were duking it out last summer over the phone, and that's kind of how the friendship started, is us talking smack about the Royals and the Mets. And we know how that turned out, and it was a great series. And luckily, Lucas Duda can't hit the side of a barn with a baseball, there were some other factors, obviously, but that's the one that, you know, as a Royals fan, sticks out.
You say it was a great series.
It was.
I agree with there was a lot of factors that came into play. But what was it?
Was that
you come from behind victories? Did you guys have? Was it Mets blew three leads?
Yeah, it's. Am I mean. Wrong? That sounds right. I know for me off the top of my head, I know we've got the Alex Gordon home run in game one to, you know, turn that thing around last minute, you know, solo jack to tie it up, you know, and your relief pitcher who was accredited for three losses. I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the world, three of the four for you guys, but that's
Jerry's familiar.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda.
No, there were definitely the brutal blown saves. That in the park home run to start off, to start everything off.
Oh yeah, Alcides.
bad small ball. Bad small ball. I don't remember a lot of it because I try to forget a lot of it. But on the other hand, though, it was we weren't supposed to be there.
Correct.
We were ahead, the Mets were ahead of the curve, to a degree. So I mean, it was exciting, and at the same time, it was heartbreaking as well.
Well, talk about that, because it had been since, you know, it had been 30 years, very much similar to the Royals, since you guys had, you know, won the Bill Buckner ball under the legs. Now, were you a Mets fan back when in 86 as this is taking place? Are you a newer Mets fan, or is it a generational?
I've been a Mets fan since the day I was born. So I was with the Mets all through the 70s when they were terrible. It's funny, I was thinking my favorite player growing up was John Stearns. But in hindsight, I don't know, I think it was maybe just because I think back then you got the courtesy player to make the All-Star team, so it was always him. In hindsight, I think, you know, looking back, my favorite player was Lee Middell. And Doug him, but, oh, God, the Mets were terrible.
Who was that second player that you listed?
Lee Mazzilli.
Oh.
He went on to be, he was the first base coach for Joe Torre, who was the manager of the Mets in the 70s, for the Yankees, when the Yankees had their run. In the 90s.
Okay.
A real Brooklyn guy. And Joe Torre's from my neighborhood. I actually was at they used to do like the sports breakfasts with the sports celebrities. And I remember my old man took me to a Joe Torre breakfast one Sunday morning. So yeah, grew up with the Mets. They were terrible, terrible, and that one game, game six, we were all hanging out at the park, drinking beers. I was 16 years old. The way we used to hang out, you know, very cliche, hanging out at the park, drinking beers. We had the boombox on.
So you guys are just sitting at the park, leaning on a tree or a bike rest somewhere.
Monkey bars, on the monkey bars.
And you're drinking beer. You're 16 years old. You've got the boombox, like, straight out of Breaking. Like, I'm imagining, like, the huge 1986 style.
Oh, yeah, and the windbreakers, too. And the windbreakers in the fat leash.
Oh, that's good. Someone had just brought the brand-new Beastie Boys album for you guys to listen to. Oh, that's great. Perfect picture. So you got the game on, and you're all listening.
Game on, and we're listening to it, and it's game six, and we all just are bummed out. We turn off the radio. We make our way up to the app and, go to the pizzeria. And so we get up to the avenue. It's like 4 by 5. And get up to the avenue, and people are crowded outside the window of the bar. Our crew as well joined in. And the second that ball went under Buckner's legs, it seemed every car horn in the neighborhood went off. It was like an instant parade. People were jumping in and out of different people's cars, meeting girls, people lighting off mats of firecrackers, people going nuts. And it was only game six. They didn't win the World Series yet, but... And that was the night, I still remember, the hairs are going up my arms. That was the night the clock turned back. And we ended up back at my friend's place, pushing his parents' car out of the driveway so they wouldn't hear it starting up, and driving over to the White Castle that's in the movie Saturday Night Fever, at like 4 in the morning, and the place is still going off with Met craziness. That was 86 Mets, man. Place in, of age, if you're of age, man, they were something to behold. You know, Strawberry, Gooden, Dykstra, Keith Hernandez. You know, you got Tim Pumple coaching third base here still. A lot of these guys are still affiliated with the Mets in one way or the other.
Yeah, that was...
You know, you have Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling in booth for SNY, where the Mets are broadcast.
Yeah.
You have Tim Pumple. A lot of these guys come up through the organization. You know, you have the Brooklyn Cyclones, which is the Mets A-ball team, which I believe Jose Reyes did a few games rehab assignment there before he just came back up again. They just had the, what was it? Yeah, 30th. It reminds me how old I am. They just had, you know, the big ceremony of the 30th anniversary of that team.
Now, what did, what were your thoughts on that Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry documentary that just came out? Did you happen to catch that?
I did. It was extremely well done and really informative. And you knew what was going on. We all cut out of high school that day to go to the parade, and I still remember to this day, it freaked me out. It was so crowded down there. I remember at one point I lifted both my legs off the ground and I was just moving with the crowd. It was that crowded. But the big thing was that Doc wasn't there. It's funny. My old man, he used to bet baseball back in the day, and he always bet Dwight Gooden on a day game, Saturday or Sunday. And if you go back and you look at the footage, he was completely flop sweating, and you could tell he was just only hungover. or worse, you know.
Oh, he would bet against him or with him.
Oh, he would bet against him.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, yeah. I was like, maybe he thought he'd stay all night up on coke and then get that extra fifth wind. But wasn't that crazy, though, that story, his story about how he accidentally missed the parade and then it just all of a sudden was 7 and then it was 9. And, oh, man, I mean, it's just, you know, really sad, really, when it, you know, ultimately. Because that was the very next day, correct?
Yeah, I can't remember if it was the exact. I don't think it was the next day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Was it? No, because I think if if memory serves, they won it game seven. That was a Sunday night. So it was probably like a, was it a Monday? You know, I can't remember.
Yeah, the documentary kind of made it feel like they all were partying that night, and then he never went home and then missed the parade. It's kind of how they made it seem. But, you know, they said 2-point-something million people. At least they had the mayor saying that, which, you know, in Kansas City last year, they estimate 800,000. And, when you're in a mob that big, it's unbelievable because you're never going to be in a crowd of people that big again the rest of your life. And to see crowds that big, the way they act, the way they move or don't move, it's scary when you see that many people together. And,
you know,
it's lawless. There's no laws. Everyone's just on their moral, like what they, you know, you can, it's really exciting. It's exciting, really.
That's 80s New York, though, too. That's pre-Giuliani, where New York is still a little bit shady. You know, if I was in that crowd at this age, I would probably have a massive panic attack. But it was crowded. I remember the hilarity. I went to a Jesuit military high school, and half of us cut out just making up excuses to get out of school, and they knew what was going on. We're like, yeah, we're out of here, and we all went down into the parade. It was, and you didn't see anything. I mean, from my vantage point, you couldn't really see anything, but it was exciting. But those guys party hard. They showed that in the in that Dwight and Doc, ESPN 30 for 30.
Yeah, it was kind of
where Keith Hernandez is no angel. I was listening to a broadcast not too long ago. I love listening to Keith and Ron Darling on these broadcasts. It's one broadcast I'd rather listen to the television broadcast over the radio. I can listen to baseball on the radio anytime, anywhere. But these guys are hilarious as well. Keith Hernandez, they were playing. The Mets were playing either the Dodgers or the Angels. I can't remember, but they were trying to lay out the geography for the average listener of the difference between Anaheim and Los Angeles and the difference. Different travel times.
Gotcha.
And Keith Hernandez offhandedly says, yeah, I had a house in Long Beach that I stayed at with my brother. Man, we had some stories there. And Gary Cohen, the third announcer in the booth, goes, yeah, most of which you probably can't tell on TV. He's like, yeah, you're right.
He just immediately.
Well, that's why St. Louis got rid of Keith Hernandez. He enjoyed his part as well, to say.
Yeah, him and Daryl Porter. That was the old Royals Cardinals catcher that was just found.
Who was the other old Royal? I remember. Royce? No.
Vince?
Oh man, that's too bad. He got popped for coke.
Oh, okay. You had John Mayberry. You had I think it's Jim Martin, who's a rarely used center outfielder. Vida Blue was popped in 83 for the Royals. Then you had Willie Wilson.
Willie Wilson, that's the guy. And, did he try to sell his ball series or something like that?
I'm not sure. And then you had John Mayberry, I think, also. You know what? I'm going to double check this because I don't want to just... all these people were on coke. Hold on. I'm gonna check this real quick.
Hold on. Didn't they say in that documentary though that with the 86 Mets did I read some of it? The bad guys won it. It was a biography written about the 86 Mets, but apparently the real maniacs were the pitchers on the Mets. Those guys were apparently the real crazy guys. And Lenny Dykstra always had a beef with them. And it's funny, Lenny Dykstra, I think he's out on tour now, touring his book. And I loved him. And obviously, he was, the way his game elevated from when he went from the Mets to the Phillies, you know, nails. He was a hard-nosed player.
And yeah, just fun to watch. I mean, as a kid, I loved watching the Phillies. They were just like the bad boys. They all had mullets, you know. just ready to rock. Okay, so John Mayberry, no Coke. I got Willie Wilson.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, sorry about that, John. We got Willie Wilson, Willie Mays Akins, Vita Blue, and Jerry Martin, outfielder Jerry Martin. So those were the four.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a...
It was
a rough, and I've actually read Willie Mays Akins' book. I've got an autographed copy. He sells them in the parking lot of Royals games and autographs them. So my buddy got me one. But, you know, same kind of very similar stories to the Doc. They just would go over to somebody's house, hang out, do a bunch of drugs, and then, you know, stay up for 3 or 4 days, and then occasionally go play baseball in between those you know, crack pipes and lines and all that stuff. It's, I mean, they complain about the steroids, but I mean, the effect that all those drugs had on the players, you know, physically, you know, is as bad, if not worse, than steroids. But you can't really see the direct correlation in the statistics, so people don't really care as much. They were like, okay, well, it didn't affect his home run, so whatever.
Amphetamines and baseball, until the modern era, if I'm not mistaken, went hand in hand all the way back to, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Yeah, no, you...
I believe, didn't they called them beans, didn't they? Yeah, didn't you beans?
Yeah, it was greenies and blueies. Greenies was right. The main thing. Yeah, these amphetamine. I think they started in the Air Force originally. They were developed to keep the pilots awake.
Pilots, yeah.
During, one of the world wars, but... Yeah, very true. Those have been used throughout, you know, baseball. And no, they're not technically used today. I mean, what do you think just slugging 2 5-hour energy drinks right before you take the field? Same thing, you know? I mean, there's different stuff. It's just, you know, it's got a new label. Same stuff, different label.
Now, this is interesting, though, because I didn't realize that it ran deep like that with the Royals. Because my question would be, does Dwight Gooden or Daryl Strawberry, does their story unfold as it did because they're in New York City, if they happen to be playing in a place, you know, like a St. Louis or I can't really say Kansas City, because, or was it just always around? Obviously, you know, with New York City, and like they, you know, they explain in the documentary, and it's still true today. I mean, It's the city that never sleeps, and they predominantly work at night. So, you know, you sleep all day, you pop your bean, you get your game up, like they said, then you go out drinking, and then you got to, you know, do your partying, and then you got to come down, however you come down, you go to sleep, and then it's wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say yes, it probably still happens just because, you know, the same thing happened to all those guys that we just, you know, listed that played for the Royals. I think that's just, that was just the time. Like, you know, like in the early aughts, everyone's doing ecstasy, and now it's everyone's on weed or, you know, ketamine or whatever. Every 5 or 6 years, there's some new drug, you know. But unfortunately for all those guys in that time period through the 80s, it was crack cocaine. And that's what everyone did, and it wasn't, like, it wasn't crack back then. It was a new drug. It might have been sexy. Not necessarily accepted, but I don't think people didn't realize, like, if Dwight Gooden, if you would have shown him a picture of himself, be like, this back then, it says 30 years from now, this is going to be you in a documentary, shaking the entire time, not being able to sit still, barely being able to feed yourself because you're twitching all the time because all the crack you've smoked. Like, do you still want to smoke crack? He probably says no. But, you know, that was what was really sad was, you see Gooden, and it's very apparent that he's still using. He's just, you know, he's got that I do crack kind of vibe about him. Whereas Daryl Strawberry looks sober, feels sober, his voice sounds sober. Did you pick that up?
You know, I didn't. I might have to give it another look-see to observe more. I do recall, though, that, you know, Daryl is involved with the ministry.
Yes, yeah.
And has religion in his life. And they seem to bring him around more around the Mets organization than you might see Dwight. But That crack rock, that crack pipe, man. I'm glad I never danced with that devil. But from what I understand, that's just an ugly monkey that you just, once it's on your back, man, it's on your back for life.
Yeah,
that's just too bad. But you know, it's like they explained. You know, it's big money goes back to the hood, really. Not to, you know, take away from what's the right way to say it. You know?
Hey, we've all seen New Jack City. We've all seen New Jack City.
Yeah, you know, it's misery loves company. I guess, you know, so if you see one of your boys, you know, succeeding, there are going to be people around that want to bring you down just because they don't want to see you succeed. They want to bring you down to their level, you know, because misery loves company.
Well, and I think it's a way to people to latch on, and, you know, like, at that point, if you're attached to someone through a drug addiction, you're going to go wherever they go, whether that's up or down, which, you know, they're already down because they're hanging out with the drug dealer. So, yeah, it's a bad cycle, you know, for sure.
I guess it's across the board in any industry. You can find that in entertainment with actors or, you know, in the music industry. Once you get to a certain level, you're not going to have people around you that are going to tell you the truth. You're just going to have yes people.
Yeah.
You know, no. People that are going to tell you what you're doing is okay because you are who you are. And it sadly had its repercussions.
Well,
Kevin Mitchell, I mean, I need to look him up.
I love him.
I love him too. I mean, back when I was a kid, they said they got rid of him because he was a bad influence, but he, in my opinion, he was badass.
No, he was.
He pretty much played every position on the field. They actually brought him back here, and I think they brought him up in the World Series into the booth, and he was talking about sensitive to his thigh. Like trunk. He's like, yeah, built like me, got that trunk, you know, where you can hit, you know.
I was going to say, he like, for you young listeners, Kevin Mitchell, one, he's got the best catch ever. No offense, Willie Mays, but it's a one-handed just grab of a ball in foul territory on the run. Just snags it. Just snags it right out. It's incredible. But he kind of had a little bit of that cespedes in his game. Quick outfielder, decent arm, you know, and could hit for power, but just, you know, never really made it to that elite, consistent, like, kind of Hall of Fame career. Kind of danced with it for a season or two, but, you know, never quite sustained that, you know, over the 12, 15 years that you need to. But a great player,
I'll tell you what, I was sad to see him go as a Mets fan. I loved him. He was great. I mean, I loved that whole team. Everybody else. Wally Backman. It's too bad Wally Backman, you know, with the issues that he had. I think he's good manager material. I think, I think his personal life got in the way of him becoming a major league manager. So he's kind of in, you know, and whether he gets up there, it'd be great. I mean, I have no problem. He's managing their AAA team.
Okay.
You got Wally Backman and Ray Knight. He just kind of disappeared. I don't know what that guy's up to.
Yeah, he's probably.
Yeah, it was.
They're playing golf somewhere, relaxing. What about this year's team? I mean, right now you're 10 back in the division, 3.5 back of the wild card. Do you got any hope, or are you just kind of, let's see what happens? I mean,
I'll tell you what, man. It's David Wright. I mean, I love the guy, but he killed the season. He killed the season. Losing Daniel Murphy, and the only reason why we got rid of Daniel Murphy was to keep David Wright. But if Daniel Murphy would have been great at third base, and just the way Mets are going down this year, injury-wise, and the season that Daniel Murphy's putting up right now. I mean, he's batting 348 right now with a 388 on base percentage.
Just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You know, 87 RBIs. He's killing it. It was hard to watch Murphy go. I mean, and you saw what he did in the postseason last year.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what set it all off.
He's in the zone. The guy's in the zone. So, I mean, And it was nice.
Let me ask you this, Dan. You're sitting in what? Okay, you're sitting in your favorite pizzeria. Are they called pizzerias? Okay. Where are you at right now? Are you in what city are you, or borough or neighborhood?
I'm in Brooklyn.
So you're in Brooklyn right now. So what's your favorite place to get a slice, let's say, in that area?
If we're in Brooklyn in my area, we're going to Pizza Wagon over on 86th and 5th Avenue.
86th.
Best slice, best square.
86th and 5th Pizza Wagon. So Daniel Murphy walks into Pizza Wagon, orders, let's say, two slices and a beer. Say it's about $9-$10. Do you buy that for Daniel Murphy, or do you feel any obligation to be like, no, I got that, or do you just let him walk through? Do you even say anything at all?
I don't know, man. That would be weird. Well, first, they don't sell beer there.
Okay, so a large soda.
He'd get the love though. Yeah, but two slices and a Coke already. 2, 5, about 6.
That's not bad at all.
They haven't bumped up to 275 like everybody else in the neighborhood. So keep it that way, boys. If you tune in, yeah, they're 250 a slice, 250 a square, and I think like a dollar for a soda, $1.25 for a medium. I think he would get the love. He would get the love. What was this? He had his homecoming in Philly the other night.
Oh, Chase Utley?
Yeah. And,
unbelievable.
He had two home runs. One was a grand slam, and he got curtain calls each time.
Yeah. And look, I love it because Philly is notorious for being horrible, you know, and mean and, you know, just vicious to just athletes in general, whether they play for Philadelphia teams or not. But the fact that he comes back with the Dodgers, hits the two home runs, like you said, one's a grand slam. Gets two curtain calls. I think they totaled it up. It was like 2.5 minutes worth of curtain calls as a visiting player. I mean, that says a lot about what people think about Chase Utley. What I'm saying is, if you're going to Philly.
Philly fans beat up Santa Claus.
Yeah. So if you're going to Philly and to visit for the first time, you and your family, and you're from Tulsa or the Midwest somewhere, and you're really nice and maybe worried, just buy the entire family Chase Utley jerseys and walk around, and everyone's going to love you. You know, they'll be like, look, there's the Chase Utley family. We're not messing with them. They're all wearing Chase Utley jerseys. You can go in and rob a store, probably do whatever you want. But yeah, no, that was incredible. Never really seen anything quite like that before.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about that. It reminded me of Lenny Dykstra. Because both Philly fans and Met fans claim them as their own. There's almost like a subconscious battle between Philly fans. No, he's a Met. No, he's a Philly. Where he's equally loved by both franchises.
Yeah, I mean, and a huge part of both franchises, you know, the Phillies won in 08, but, you know, big part of their, you know, their World Series experience, you know, back in, what was that? When did they lose to the Blue Jays? 92? 91? Whatever year that was. But
yeah, I'll have to get my producer on that.
yeah. You have to check that out. But, well, hey, Paulie, I was going to say, thanks for coming on. I'm going to, you know, probably get back with you here at the end of the season. I hope you guys get in. You know, as a Royals fan here, we started winning. It might be a little bit too little too late, but, you know, they kind of turned it around. We're almost back to 500. So just, you know, more playing for pride than anything. But
it's interesting how, you know, how both teams that went to the World Series are, you know, kind of having similar years.
It's injuries. I mean, you know, both your pitching, our pitching.
Hot and cold.
Yeah.
You know, the Mets were, you know, that was the pitching was supposed to carry them. You can't hit if you can't hit runners in scoring position. You know, you can't lead the league in home runs, but be last in the league with RBIs with runners in scoring position. It doesn't add up. I like Neil Walker. I mean, and Cabrera. I hope Cabrera gets back soon. you know, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, we only got Neil Walker because we lost Daniel Murphy, but it's nice to see Neil Walker having a good year.
Yeah, he's a tough player. I'd like to have him on a team. He knows how to play the right way.
And it's this kid that they just brought up looks pretty interesting.
I'm not familiar.
TJ Rivera.
Oh, okay. New name.
Believe me, some of these lineups they put out there. It's like, who's this guy now? Where? What? I don't know if we'll catch first place, but you know, if we can hang in there for the wild card and just at least keep it a season, then you know, it's much you can hope for. But these injuries. Every team gets injuries.
Yeah, but sometimes you get them worse than others, and I mean, and when they're key players, like you know. Starters or all-stars or some in some rights, you know, considered top five pitchers in the league. You lose those guys, you notice that. You know,
we lost Harvey. We have put us on the DL.
Yeah, Syndergaard was down for a while. DeGrom's been a horse, so that's nice. But but like I said, well, I'll have you back on here in about 2 months, and then hopefully it'll be a good conversation. But, hey, Pollock, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
I look forward to it, John. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, man. All right, man. Be good. Thanks again for coming on. And as soon as that interview ended, he's like, I forgot Mookie Wilson. Mookie Wilson, you get love too. I don't know how your name did not come up in our conversation, but yes, a legendary Mets player. And with all that Mets talk, I feel obligated to share a little George Brett stuff because on this day in 1980, he went 4-for-4, putting his batting average over 400 this late in the season. And, you know, he only played 117 games. But anyway, here's some good MLB Network talk. This is from Harold Reynolds and Dan Plesac, just talking about George Brett and dealing with him.
1980, on this day in history, went 4-for-4 to put his average at 4-1. He finished hitting .390 with a .454 on-base percentage, which guided him to his first and only MVP. George Brett in 1980. Wow. What were you thinking about George Brett in 1980?
He was on a Slurpee cup, 7-Eleven. You know, you remember that?
Yeah.
7-Eleven and on the Slurpee cup, George Brett.
I didn't expect the Slurpee cup.
I'm telling you, I remember that. No, I remember this image being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Who didn't read it back then? But George Brett, here's what was astounding to me, looking at this. He was hitting .401 with 14 homers and 88 RBIs. And I bet he only struck out, 20 times maybe
all year? He struck out 22 times in 1980.
22 Ks. What were his final numbers?
He only played 117 games, okay? And he hit 24 home runs and drove in 118. In 117 games in 1980, he drove in 118.
Crazy. It was amazing. George was one of my, when I look back at my baseball career and all the great players you get to play against, he hit squared up every ball. He was a guy that every time he came to play, you knew he was going to hit the ball hard. And you had to be ready because he's going to hit.
Yeah.
He's going to swing. He's going to make contact. But he squared up every ball, whether it was an out, a hit, or whatever it was. I don't think anybody squared the ball up as much as George Brett did and hit the ball as hard as he did. He was an incredible hitter. But real quick, and then I'll let Dan talk, because we played about the same time. And, you know, so you get to play against these guys. It was really cool. But my first game in the big leagues was against Kansas City Royals that I got a chance to play. My first major league hit off of Larry Gura, and then later a triple. slide into third. We're killing the Royals, and the Royals were the Kings back then. And I slide into third, and George's like, oh, you are a stud, man. You guys are killing us. You're going to be a great player. And I'm like, wow, George Brett telling me.
Right?
And then I go back to the dugout. We told Darnell Coles that. He told Phil Bradley that. I'm like, oh, man, I thought I was special.
You are.
He's my favorite, man. He was great.
My rookie year in 1986, getting a chance to go to Kansas City and play against the Royals the first time. This is pre-cell phone, pre-internet. But I could remember calling home to my mom and dad, you know, saying, you're not going to believe it, played the Royals, and I got a chance to pitch to George Brett. And it was just, you have to just put yourself on the mound 60 feet, 6 inches away. And it seemed like I was in my dorm at NC State watching the game of the week, watching George Brett. And now I'm seeing the bat with all the pine tar, and I could see Billy Martin, you know, just everything. You know, and it was just like, man.
And there, yeah. So look, it's. You forget, I mean, the George Brett, I mean, look, I'm obviously biased. Kansas City guy, grew up with watching George Brett. I remember him getting the 3,000th hit, all that stuff. But all these years later when they pointed out and you're like, you know, yeah, okay, 118 games. Still, though, he had a .400 average in 117 games in 1980, which is incredible. But, all right. Enough with baseball. When we get back from break, we'll be with Dave Nelson with our Super Soccer segment. Just breaking down the leagues. He just explains, this is this country, this goes into that country, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of simplifies it, and all that stuff is starting up. So all the European leagues right now, this is the hot spot. Pero no escoltado, no se vino solo. Me traje un equipo, no quiero sorpresas. Prefiero estar listo. ¿Listos para qué? Pa'l que vaya estorbando. Compadre, ¿qué pasa? He venido a reforzarlo. A ver si lo entiendo, vino a reforzarme. Es que por ahí supe que quiere vengarse. Ese es mi problema, también es el mío. Porque yo también ando al 100 con el tío. Si la guerra es suya, pues también es mía. Mi gente es su gente. All right, we are back, and it's been a while, but we've got Dave Nelson here for a Super Soccer segment. And Dave, how are you doing? I know you're in the car right now. You're headed to a gig to do comedy down in, is it Florida? Is that where you are?
Yeah, Ocala, Florida, lovely Ocala, Florida. Not bragging.
Nice, and it sounds as beautiful as you know, anywhere in Florida. The main thing, you know, as listeners, you know, when going to Florida, the most important thing is to come home from Florida. You know, just don't put yourself in any situations that you know, bite in badly.
Yeah.
Just stay inside.
Sorry, I'm doing directions at the same time here, John. Yeah,
no worries.
The goal is you get into Florida and then you leave as soon as you can.
And the key there being directions are important. Directions going the right way trumps anything that we're going to talk about, just for the record, so that you feel comfortable, because you're the one that's actually in Florida. You know, you're the one that...
That is correct.
You're the
I
one...
I don't know. Anything could happen. It's a crapshoot.
Well, I almost said from the Comedy at Go-Go podcast, but I remember the last time we had spoke, you said that you're kind of switching gears and... transitioning into a new format. How's that going?
It's good. It's been like a it went from just like, you know, I've been doing, like, you were like an earlier guest, but I've been doing the podcast a long time, and it was just one of those things where I was getting tired of like interview guests, and I think you kind of had reached, I was tired of doing that, and I think I did good at that, but there are plenty more people that have a more popular podcast doing that same format. So I retooled it, and it's now just, it's more personal. And I talk about, like, I think you went through this, and you might be able to understand, it's like, start questioning, why do you do stand-up comedy? Why do you do it? And so start asking those questions, kind of making it an existential quest to dig down and ask myself, why do I do stand-up comedy? And so starting at the beginning of this year, in January, first episode of the year was like, just asking myself, do I still enjoy doing comedy? And then kind of taking that quest all year and deciding whether I was going to continue to do stand-up comedy from, like, what I do anything like that. Just kind of dig down in it. And, you know, bring guests on the show and do a shorter format. Ask them, like, just ask why do they do stand-up comedy, and maybe kind of help you get to the reason why I do it, and do I still enjoy doing it?
Yeah, no, I think that's important. And I think every comedian asks themselves that, you know, probably three times a month, really. And you really got to have, you know, it's like you got to have a love for it, a passion for it. You got to will a lot of sacrifice. It goes into being a comedian. It's just like anything you want to be good at. You know, it just it takes a lot of time and dedication. And that's yeah, I think that's a great you know, and like you said, there are, you know, a lot of other podcasts out there that we're doing the, you know, question, answer, what's your story, kind of like autobiography kind of style of podcasting. But I think that is a much better format and more informative, especially to anyone out there thinking about doing comedy. It really is going to shine a good light on what it really takes, you know, not only to be successful, but just to really, you know, get the most out of comedy and, you know, present the most opportunities for you to do comedy.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's led me to sit back because, I mean, you know, I work a full-time job and I'm kind of like, I'm going to describe myself tonight as like a local pro. In my town, I'm the guy who produces shows and I go out and do shows and do occasions. I'm just kind of doing some weekend warrior stuff and doing some two-week road gigs and things like that. So it's I'll be in a few town.
Nice. Well, so, we'll keep the listener posted. I know you just got off a two-week run, and I feel bad. We could have at least put the word out. Next time you go on one, just let us know, and we'll send it out to the listeners.
I will do that.
But to switch it up to the football or soccer, if you will, if you're American.
Yes.
Okay, coming at this completely blind. So the English Premier League, is that starting now? Is this the season to start soccer?
That just
started
in early August. Yeah, that league just opened up.
And that's
so they just kicked off.
And that's just England, correct? Just the island of England, or is some of Ireland in that also?
No, it's just England, and there's teams from Wales in there. So.
Okay.
Great Britain teams. Yeah.
Yeah, and Wales has always been England's Puerto Rico. You know, it's there, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's.
Yeah. Totally.
But anyway, so the English Premier League has started just in the past couple weeks. Now, what other leagues are currently getting underway?
The French League, I believe, kicked off or is about ready to kick off. I don't follow that as closely as I think. Usually that's a one league team. It's, you know, Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Usually it's going to win that one. I think coming up here, by the time this probably airs, the Spanish League is kicked off, and the same thing with the Italian League.
And what's the Spanish League called for the listeners, just to freshen them up?
I think it's La Liga.
La Liga. And then, that's Spain.
You know, it's going to be either Barcelona or Real Madrid, usually the teams that are going to win that.
Okay.
So.
And then the Italian League, what's that league called?
Oh man, I could have told you this if you hadn't asked me that question.
I'm sorry. See, what I'm doing for myself and for our listeners is just to kind of frame the whole thing, because I noticed now ESPN is running a European soccer show nightly, and I try to watch and I try to like educate myself, but I'm like, I don't know, like, you know, it's just like when you know nothing about something, it takes a long time for it to start soaking in because you just can't comprehend it. So I'm just trying to frame everything for the listener. Now, then, now the German league, well, which when does this?
The Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga.
And you're going to get that on Bundesliga, and that's going to be on Fox Sports. So, I mean, and if you get BN, you can get the Italian and the French league, and then they also have some, what do they call it now, the English Football League, which is the division below the Premier League. So it's. And then on top of that, you have MLS going right now. And I've been kind of neglecting that just because I've been following what's going on in Europe and the like.
Now,
so. Now
the MLS, would that be in line with maybe that first division, not the Premier English League, but the first division? Is that somewhat comparable, or is the MLS maybe even a notch below that?
I think the MLS is we're below Premier League. I mean, just on the sheer fact of one, the maturity of it. I mean, you look, the league's maybe 20 years old.
Yeah.
English soccer has been around for well over 100 years.
Yeah.
I think it's getting there. and it's interesting now because also there's that China Super League, and then they're buying all these kind of like what the MLS model's been. Is you get kind of like players on their downslope of their career. You get the Beckhams and things like that, but you have those Chinese billionaires that have money to burn and want to kind of be a part of the whole.
Wait, so China's getting in on it? Because I know they've been taking all the washed-up NBA players over in China for the past couple seasons.
Yeah.
So China now got it, huh?
China now is probably the biggest competition for some of the players, but I think quality-wise, they're probably going to want to do MLS. I think it's a good training ground for some of the players, and this is a good thing for the MLS. And what I've read and what I've heard on some soccer podcasts is, you know, if they need to go, teams are full like a Chelsea or an Arsenal or, you know, a Manchester City, will send some of their young players to play MLS, you know, get a little experience over there.
I like that. Now, has that ever been talks of saying, like, all right, here's the Premier League, which is they call that the table. Is that right?
They've got a table because you can get demoted to the league below, as well as if you're the league below, you can get promoted up.
So that's so Americans listen, or, you know, non-soccer fans, a table is the standings, essentially.
Correct.
And if you're at the bottom of the table, you go down a whole league the following season. The bottom, what, four teams?
Bottom three teams.
Okay. Now, that why doesn't MLS say, hey, Bundesliga, or hey, La Liga, or hey, Premier League? Like, each team affiliate with an MLS team and say, if you want to develop your players over here, has that ever been considered or even talked about?
I think like Orlando, I think they just got an agreement with Stoke City, I believe. So they kind of have these kind of like partnerships.
Yeah.
So they're starting to get that done. Obviously, you look at New York City, they're partnered with Manchester. They call it with Baby Manchester City, some of the names I've heard it referred to as. So it's just, you're starting to see that because English Premier Leagues want to get more exposure. As they've kind of peaked out in Europe, and America is still a brand new game here in the United States.
Even though
it's been around for a while. But these are brand new dollars, marketing dollars, and brand new, you know, shirts they could be selling, things like that. So there's that whole branding thing concept in America is wide open.
Yeah. The whole $1 billion just sitting untouched in America, you know, or more every year. And just, I mean, if they could get the MLS to where, you know, can you imagine? And I'm sure it will get there in 30, 40 years, an MLS Super Bowl type atmosphere. I mean, I could picture that playing out.
I think, like, in the America, we have some of the best athletes in the world. It's just right now they're focused on sports that, like, you know, football and basketball. And so if you were to get, like, a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James caliber athlete playing soccer, I mean, that would be a game changer. And I think it's one of those things that will happen as it becomes not the game that, like, you would get made, you know, it's not a sissy game anymore as they look at, like, these kind of European athletes, the, like, you know, the Beckham
the floppers
to become more
the floppers.
What's that again? NBA's got floppers all
exactly
over
the that's I mean, the problem. It's like that's now spread to every other sport, so it's not really frowned upon because everyone does it in every sport now, not just in soccer. And so
I think MLS doesn't have as much of a flopping issue. I think it's much more like South America that's much more acceptable, and you see that a lot in Italian soccer. English it happens, but it's kind of frowned upon because they're much more, you know, not English to up on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, Italians are the ones that get rolled over, not a Brit. Gotcha. You know, and I think it's going to just take that guy that decides, you know, he's a top football and soccer or baseball or basketball and soccer, and then pick soccer over the other sport. And that'll be the day that the table turns in America.
Yeah.
And that will happen, but it's just going to take... They tried with the Freddie Adu 10 years ago, you know, but it's going to take that type of hype, but then someone to actually back it up, and then there to be, you know, a quarter of $1 billion in money for that kid, you know, to cash.
But also, if you look at, like, what goes on in England, you got to build kind of these, like, youth youth teams and stuff. Like, I know Kansas City has a youth division where they'll work with talented local talents, and I think Philadelphia has started to do that. So you start to see these, so where you get these local talents where people are getting trained, because you're going to have youth division teams like you see, like under 15s, under 23s, and under 21s, and like that. It happens not only just in England, but happened also in Germany and France and Italy. And so
yeah,
because so
was it Rooney that they had on the under Manchester had on their under 14 team or something like that? Like, he's been with Manchester for like 18 years or something like that.
Who's that?
Rooney.
No, Rooney was in Everton. He was in Everton originally. Giggs, who just recently left, had been there forever and a day.
Oh, okay.
You look at he was at the LA Galaxy, married to Beckham. He was in the youth division. So you see these people grow up and familiar with to become kind of like these superstars around the world. The guy that's now playing over in NYC was part of the Chelsea youth teams. And like, so people kind of like, you see that in Kansas City with some of like the goalie now for Sporting KC was a homegrown talent.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, defender. Yeah, so you see the guy, the defender that's on the All-Star team and on the U.S. national team, he was a homegrown talent for Sporting KC.
That's right. Dwyer?
To get these, and if people can relate to that, you know, it's like the NFL draft, if they can get the guy that played in that college, in that their town playing for that team, that's going to draw more people to it, give them a bit more sexiness to it.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, this is, I think, like the third year we've been having you on now doing the soccer segments. And every year I feel it. I feel the sport growing just a little bit. And it's an extra 5 minutes of reviewing soccer, you know, every hour now on ESPN, on SportsCenter that wasn't there 5 years ago. It's the extra broadcast of all, like you mentioned, Fox doing the German league, and just the access to the English football leagues now on television, you know, and on your phone or whatever.
I think it's the divisions wanting to be able to put time and energy and marketing into it as well. You know, you reach a point where, like, if you want to be, when you have, like if you're a Manchester City or Manchester, you know, Manchester United, you've got this Chevrolet, so there's some sort of, that's their shirt sponsor. So there's some sort of obligation to that you want to reach out and help brand them in the United States as well as in China and things like that. So there's also that push from the sponsors to be more global too.
Yeah, and it's just ultimately just take full advantage of these markets. I'm sure China, there's a couple $1 billion waiting there, you know, every year for soccer and another couple.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the sports franchises, aren't like now, you know, 56, like when Lamar Hunt started the Chiefs and the AFL, it was much more, you know, boys and their toys. It wasn't looked at as an investment so much. Now it's like if people are investing in sports teams, as they like, it's like a stock and a bond, so they're going to want to turn over and make money on it, much as more just like something where I can just throw some tax. It's just a tax write-off. It's a lot more than that for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now it's all, they've got the television deals were, I mean, the fact that the Dodgers are worth $2.5 billion is just ridiculous, you know, and that they went, I think the franchise was worth $400 million 15 years ago. So the value of every sports franchise has just doubled, you know, just in the last 3 or 4 years. And so,
I mean, you grew up in the Kansas City area. I mean, you remember the Royals in the 80s. And like, those players lived in, I mean, I lived in Blue Springs in the suburbs there. I remember, like, all the Royals used to live in my subdivision. And I mean, I was blue collar, you know, growing up. I mean,
yeah.
Lower middle class. And, like, the Kauffmans are kind of a big deal. But now, none of those guys would live there. I mean, it's just kind of blown up to, like, just in the last 20, 30 years, blown up these crazy amount of money behind it. It just blows my mind to think, like, 30 years ago, would soccer be where it's at today? I mean, I liked soccer back then, but you could never hope you were that kid. Like I said, you would get made fun of. You would have the Eric Marinos of the world making fun of you for being a soccer fan of some sort.
Yeah, right. And, they'd be like, where the hell are you even watching soccer? You know?
So now it's much more acceptable. And I think what works well for marketing is that they don't have helmets, they don't have hats. And you know, you look at some of the soccer players, they're good-looking dudes. The ladies like it, so that's a draw as well.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, look, every time they go to the World Cup and they show anyone from, you know, South America or, you know, Eastern Europe, they always focus in on the one. There's always the two hot girls in every tournament, every, you know, that they they brand the hell out of that. But is there, I was going to ask you too before I let you go, is there any value in the Olympic soccer tournament, or is that just something that's like kind of nice and we'll see what happens? Because I know, like you said, some of the leagues are already playing, and then you got the Olympics going on. So is there any sort of, you know, value in that, like with the players? Or
I think for the women, I think it gives you some sort of sense of pride, some national pride. But I think the World Cup ranks high up there, and then, you know, then whatever, you want to win your league division, and then if you're in Europe, you want to win the Champions League, you know. So I think it's nice, but it's not, I think more people are more worried. It's club over country, not teams a lot, is what they would say over in England. Like, they'd rather see their club team win the Premier League or get promoted to division than England winning the World Cup again.
Okay. Gotcha. And that just, I think, you know, yeah, you got your local pride, and then, you know, that everyone's a generational fan of whatever club they're rooting for, because everyone still lives in the same little, you know, Leicester City or wherever they're from, you know, that the 50 other towns that no one's ever heard of in England that make up the rest of the football league. But, well, hey, where can the listener track down your work, Dave, before we let him go?
Let's see. I'm on Twitter at @hey_snowflake. And I pinned my podcast, which I do weekly. You can catch it on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search Comedy Agoga. It will pop up in Google. I've been doing it long enough. And I just got on Instagram. I'm on Just a Professor. I do stupid stuff on that.
Yeah. And I got to say, man, you got a really, really, really eclectic sock collection. I'm actually kind of envious of you, man. You got some really nice socks.
I'm not bragging, but that's how I roll. That's how you roll. With the Professor Doe, you invest it. I don't buy stocks and bonds. It's all in stock.
No. No stocks and bonds, just socks more and more socks. Now, what was the Instagram handle?
Just the Professor. It's a little bit of everything. Sometimes music, weird videos, whatever on there. So
just a Professor, then, listener. Go get it.
Check out Patch Town Records. I do a couple bands, side projects too.
Oh, okay. And that was
That's on Bandcamp. On Bandcamp.
And that's
Patch Town Records.
Patch with a P, Town Records?
Yep.
Okay. Patch Town Records. Dave, thanks for your time. And especially, you know, good luck with, have fun with the show tonight. Travel safely and get out of Florida as fast as you can, all right?
I will do that. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, let's do it again soon, all right? Be good.
Yes, we will. Later on.
All right, man. Bye.
Later.
Blows as I'm on it at 5, and she been good with a 6-pack of that Colt 45, just like I should. And if I could, I will, I might hit blow tonight. If things go right, I'm gonna cut this hole tonight. So I get a call from this brawl, run the game like she ain't ready, but still indeed she on her knees, keeping things steady like Betty Crocker, the face doctor. Just as she swallows with passion, so now she bragging, lagging behind with questions she now be asking. So time is passing, now I'm mashing on, I'm gone, living in a world of hoes. So I suppose it's going down deep in your city, cause in these parts ain't nothing but hard times. Now shout it, please, really.
I know you're waiting for daddy, it won't be long. Shout it, be patient, cause I'm coming to you.
All right, again, that's Dave Nelson. Thank you, sir. I now know a lot more about soccer. Like, every time you come on, I learn a little bit more. And listeners, hopefully, you did too. And I didn't realize that Wales was, you know, connected there in that league. And I didn't know what the German league was called. And we'll figure out what the Italian league's called. But again, that's, go check out Dave's podcast, Comedy Agogo. Comedy base, some deep comedy questions, recently changed the format. And of course, you can find that on iTunes and Stitcher. and all that kind of stuff. And then, Paulie, had a great time talking with you, man. I really appreciate you coming on. He had actually just gotten done at the hospital, and he'd had a rough day. So I appreciated him coming on and talking Mets with us. And then before we get out of here, I wanted to play this real quick. So earlier today, Josh Donaldson with the Blue Jays struck out, and when he walked into the dugout, he takes his bat and he slams it against one of the pillars there at the top of the steps. Well, Blue Jays manager John Gibbons was standing there and went down and had some words, and it got kind of heated, and then some other players separated them. It was just like kind of a baseball argument, not even a baseball fight, baseball argument. And so afterwards, when the media was questioning him about it, Josh Donaldson, being an MVP and awesome, replied just like this.
Your take on what happened there?
I just come back to the dugout and hit my bat against the thing, and Gibby asked me what kind of cologne I was wearing. And I said, it's this new cologne called Tom Ford. I just got it. He's like, really? Oh. So he kind of got pretty close to me and I guess got a good whiff of it. And I was like, hey, man, back up. So I was like, I'll give you some after the game. So then we separated.
Tulowitzki jumped in to get a smell as well.
Yeah, he wanted to. I think he liked it too. Yeah.
And because of that, the Blue Jays I now have winning the East. Sorry, Boston. It looks like it's going to be a Royals-Boston wild card game because, with the amount of confidence and how relaxed and just how just fun they're having right now in the Blue Jays locker room, I look for signs like this, and I take this as a very, very good sign. And so I'm calling it right now. Blue Jays take the East. Sorry, Orioles fans, you trickle away. Red Sox fans, we'll go wild card. But just based on that alone, I'm going Blue Jays. And then I'm getting ahead of my. I didn't even get into the Dodgers. I wanted to call up our old buddy Mark Cassidy, our Dodgers expert, Dodgers fan, and also amazing banjo player in the Hillbenders band, bluegrass band, because now the Dodgers are in first place. The Giants can't win to save their life, and the Dodgers somehow are piecing together these long win streaks even without Clayton Kershaw. But I'll tell you what, we'll get into that next week. Guys, thanks for listening. Remember, go to onelovely.com, tell your friends, listen to the show, and the usual, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, stay obsessed. You said